NRP S2 E47 about audio. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show this week. I'm talking to my buddy Ian again. How you doing, Ian?
Could be better, could be worse.
So you're like surviving, you know?
Living.
You're living instead of dying.
I'm the living dead.
Oh, because you got busy living instead of busy dying, or something. I don't know. We'll edit that to make it sound witty and comical. Anyway... So today's episode, Ian wanted to talk a little bit about audio technical. What did you want to talk about? Technical stuff, or like, you know, what was your interest today? What sparked the idea that you wanted to talk about this?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, just a couple technical things we could say, and you know, just general discussion and your whole thoughts about the whole audio industry and audio files in general, you know.
And then we start talking about, okay, so vinyl is the only pure form of audio, and everything else is blasphemy, right?
So, I guess if we want to start, how would you define, what's audio, Ben?
Audio, it's how you're listening to this show right now. Audio, if you're not deaf, you're hearing us. And if you are, I apologize. I don't know where that was going, but audio is, you know, the sound spectrum, the sound frequencies that... in, you know, waves in the air, and we interpret them through our ear into our brain.
Yeah, audio is pretty much a vibration of matter. That's why no one can hear you scream in space.
And then Firefly got that right, because like whenever there's a space explosion, there's no sound. But then again, you know, if you're out in space and there's an explosion, and it, like, that's the thing, would there be no, is it because there's no air, therefore sound can't exist? Because, like, wouldn't there be vibrations of some kind? Or is it because it's all a vacuum that there's no way for it... Like, vacuums kill air, I guess, right? Because that's what happens when they soundproof stuff. When they soundproof a room, you want to have space in between. But I doubt you can get a vacuum in a room, because that would be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's... From what I know, it's just that, you know, there's no... Air is, like, comprised of oxygen and nitrogen and what other... minor elements there are, but it's, there's some kind of matter in the air, whereas in space it's just the vacuum. You know, if you're by some debris or if you're in a gas cloud, you might be able to hear something, but it would definitely be sort of weird, you know.
That would be weird if you could pick up sounds in space. I mean, you know, sounds are just data being transferred in a way that your ear can dictate it. I mean, you know, I'm sure we could talk about like archaeoacoustics, the idea of, you know, sounds being recorded in ways like a record, you know, record player. And there's like, you know, there was that episode of the X-Files, and then I think a CSI episode where they're like, oh, this pot was, happened to be, somebody was spinning it at the time when they were reading the Lord's Prayer and it recorded it. And it's like, no, that doesn't happen. You know, I mean, they have done some cool stuff. Like, I was reading an article about, like, you know, they had some early experimental stuff from Alexander Graham Bell, when he was testing out stuff before they got cylinders and records and whatnot. And, like, they didn't have any recordings of his voice, so they didn't know what he sounded like. But they had this thing, but they could, it was so sensitive they couldn't play it, because to play it would destroy it. So they used lasers and... No, I don't think it was lasers. It was something where they like, photographed the groove, and then they used a conversion program to make that into an audio file. And... there's lost records that they happen to have printed copies of in pictures and magazines, so they take the picture and then take a look at the groove and make that to reproduce the lost record. And that kind of stuff is weird and fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I guess I have an inner librarian that just gets giddy about, like, lost archives of stuff. Whee! Maybe I'm Indiana Jones. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, that type of stuff is interesting. I remember I saw on TV once about how they can... use like a laser or something and point it in the window to see what people are talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of monitoring equipment, and then they have those sound guns that you can,
the supersonic ears.
Well, yeah, well, you can both hear. It's like, It's sort of like how a laser is with light. It's concentrated, so you can either beam things into people's head, or you can receive it from like far away, like you're saying,
Well,
you know?
that's the cool thing about a lot of audio technology is it works two ways. Like a telephone, like a microphone and a speaker are basically the same thing. And I found that out with my computer one time when I couldn't see what I was plugging into the back of it, and I thought I was plugging into the mic port, and it was actually the speaker, but I was still able to record, which was just weird.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
like,
crazy.
I hope I didn't break this thing.
Yeah.
But then again, if you have a little weird portable speaker, you can turn it into a microphone, being MacGyver, if you know how to, get something to interpret the wiring going backwards. So,
Yeah.
but I
So,
think we're getting off track. You wanted to start off with, some technicals and specifics, didn't you?
well, I was gonna say we could sort of continue on with what you were saying about the vinyl and stuff. I guess music, like digital music, there's digital music or digital audio, I should say, and then you have the analog audio. I guess that, there's a lot of divide between people with that. A lot of people swear by all, like analog audio doing
Well, you get that
like
in,
recording stuff,
well, you get that in audio, and you'll get that in film too. It's like, oh, I think we talked about it before with Quentin Tarantino. Be like, if they get rid of film, he doesn't know if he wants to be in the industry anymore. And it's like, people like Kevin Smith, like, oh, I love film. I can't wait. I mean, I love digital. I can't wait till it all goes that way, so I don't have to worry about converting stuff to edit and chopping and splicing film. And it's like, yeah, I can understand that, but I mean, as a guy who's worked with digital media for a long time. Yeah, I have a question, man. Do you think there's truth in the idea that if you just keep data around, like if you record like videos and audio files and then keep them on a hard drive for years and then come back to it, is it true that the data just like starts to degrade over time?
Well, I think that's true with like CDs a lot of times, but I don't know about hard drives. Maybe I think it would eventually degrade by the time, like the actual material starts to degrade,
Well, I mean, that shelf life, that you like the, there's the argument that VHS tapes, I think, have a shelf life of really only like what, 10 years, even though there's, after like that, it's like, well, if they're in good conditions, that they might last longer, but really, like if you got a crappy box of tapes, after a certain point, they're just gonna be worn, just like old nitrate stock that it's like, oh, this is what we filmed everything on, and all of it crumbled to dust, or a lot of it was a fire hazard because that's what That's what it was at the time.
Right.
So,
But pretty much, there's just like with film, like you were saying, there's like an analog film and then there's analog audio, I guess you would say. And like with raw files, as far as photography goes, that's raw files are sort of supposed to be like the digital equivalent to like analog, And I was wondering if there was a like an audio file that's sort of like the same thing where it's like a like an untouched audio, I guess.
you talking about like a lossless quality recording? Because, a lot of softwares, when you're exporting out, everyone knows about MP3 and everybody knows about WAV, and there's also other files. Like I know people on Linux and people that are audiophiles, they love their OOG format, I think it is. And
Yeah.
there's that, and there's when you're exporting it, can say, okay, you can save to MP3, which is certain, you can control the amount of compression just like a JPEG. Because if you save a JPEG and it's got very little compression, it looks just like it was. But then you start ramping that slider up and it starts consolidating its neighbors and going, okay, well, we're just going to blur this and this color is going to look a little weird here and artifacting there. And it's the same with audio, that the more you compress stuff, the more, like you kind of want to try and stay with lossless. And some files, some stuff, it's like, oh, this sounds great, but then an audio file might listen to it and go, no, this is not lossless. This is not at the right, KBPM or what?
Yeah.
I don't know the initials. What is it? KBP, KB,
Yeah, KBPS.
KBPS. There we go. It's that's yeah. There's lossless formats, but again, if you're all saving, these are all ones and zeros that are being saved digitally, but who's to say that while it's saving there, after a while just sitting, because you know, sometimes stuff just happens to files weird. You're like, I open this and all of a sudden everything's upside down. Or this file doesn't want to open today. And, you know,
right.
Computers just weird sometimes.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as like the raw image files, what's cool about those is that, you know, they, you really can't, they're like read only. So, of course, like you said, they're lossless, but it captures the actual like raw data from the sensor and it dumps that into a file, and you could, you know, like change the colors and stuff, and it saves into like some kind of settings file, but the actual image itself isn't edited at all, and you can do like lots of crazy stuff with it. It has like a larger dynamic range and stuff, you know.
Well, the editing program that we're, well, not editing, but the recording program we're using right now uses a lossless format, or at least it's supposed to. It's supposed to be I believe the word for when the editing goes through, it's not lossless editing, but like no damage, no, you know, like you're not, because every time you change something and you save it, you can always revert back to the last save, or you can revert it back to the original way it was recorded. So like if I record this whole conversation and I clip it, you know, crop it to like 15 minutes, and then decide, oh wait, I don't want to do that, I want to undo it, it has the original file somewhere in the library file. Of course, the longer your files are, the library file is going to be, and, you know, I'm sure at some point it has its limits. You know,
right.
Because, I mean, Rogue Amoeba recently came up with a program that it's like TiVo for audio on your Mac. So the idea is that it'll capture and record 3 hours worth of live audio. So if you're having a conversation with someone and you go, oh man, that would have been a great episode, you can just go back 3 hours in your audio and have, you know, which sounds like a great idea, except I'm curious about how it actually handles lag and, like, that's a lot of streaming and constantly going, hey, I'm still recording, I'm recording, and I'm sure everything, you know, everything you really want to use is 3 hours in a minute back.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like an awesome idea, though.
Yeah. I really got to research this a little bit more, but as far as, like, dynamic range, I know with images, you know, like, where you could have an HDRI file, we're going to do an HDRI episode later on, mm-hmm. in another episode for the podcast, but as far as HDRI and images, that refers to, like your whites being blown out or your blacks being clipped. It's just about the clipping, so it's the same in audio as if you have your peaks and valleys. If you clip those peaks and valleys too much, then there'll be too much, what is that called, like that distortion or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're clipping the actual range of, you know, like the loudest like aircraft compared to like a pin drop at the bottom level, you know.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing about recording audio is, like, you know, cheaper mics and stuff, they kind of don't have much of a medium volume. Like, you know, the mic I'm talking into now, I've upped the gain a little bit, so it picks me up a little bit better. But usually you can hear me kind of in the middle, and you can hear when I'm loud and when I'm really quiet. And like cheaper mics, they kind of just have really quiet, really loud. And like if your middle volume, how you're naturally speaking, is always the max volume, then that clips out. And then when you try to normalize it in an editing program, it's quiet, but you can hear the distortion of where it had already passed loud. And you know, the idea behind all this is that you see where the things are peaking out, and you just give that a little bit more room so it's not clipping out, and then everything you can normalize everything overall.
So, yeah. So then, like, really expensive mics are, like, a lot more sensitive and have more of a range they could pick up and detect, right?
Well, I've talked about this on the episode where I discussed different mic types. Electret condenser microphones are usually the best because they have, you know, a really solid range of what they can pick up, and it's also, you know, it's also pickup patterns, because, you know, the Yeti is designed to pick up, like, the way I've got it now is mostly unidirectional, so I'm talking directly into it, but you can set it to pick up, you know, you've heard, like, meetings and conference calls where they'll have one microphone sitting in the table, and you hear one guy, well, in the back is like this, and the other guy, you know, it's like, you know, certain things work better. Like with podcasts, you usually want a unidirectional mic, and electret condenser microphones are usually really good if you have, you know, real, you know, mic with XLR cables and whatnot. I've got a, you know, the Yeti has this USB connection, and it's got, let me check the back, see what I got real quick. It's got images rather than words to describe what kind of pickup pattern I'm on. I'd have to look at the package.
Well, pretty much, I guess if you could afford all that, doing all that XLR equipment and stuff, you could probably afford to be more like a real studio and just have more mics everywhere so everybody could be picked up and, you know, you could just have a mixer for all those, you know?
Well, the whole idea with XLR is that you want to be able to use that to route things into mixers, you know? I mean, the quality is going to be, you know, I'm not quite sure what the difference is between the Yeti Pro and the Yeti, you know, their bit rate and all that stuff. I'd have to look up the thing to show you the numbers. I mean, it's higher and it sounds a little bit better with the Yeti Pro, but for like podcasts and our purposes, because we're not, you know, we're not in a studio recording a master recording that's going to be pressed to much different formats, you know, it's not too much.
I just always found it interesting because I sort of equate it to, you know, like big studios, they have microphones everywhere. It's like, wherever you want to hear, you have a microphone. It's sort of like putting a spotlight somewhere, you know?
Well, spotlights, and also it's just best to capture the thing, because it's like, you know, there are things that happen where it's like, oh, there happened to be an audio at the, you know, a microphone at the event, but it was way back here, you know?
Yeah. So let me ask you, Ben, what's the difference between bit rate and sample rate then?
Okay, so sample rate is how much the microphone is sampling the audio. That means every so many in a second, how many things you're... Like, if you want to compare it to frame rate, you know, if you're capturing 60 frames a second versus 30 frames a second, you're going to see more gradual changes. And the bit rate is more how you're saving the file or whatever it is you're saving it as. That's more how you decide to compress it down. At least that's how I'm interpreting it.
Right. So I guess we can maybe go through, like, what's the different types of bit rates for a different type of media. I know, like, telephones, usually they're, like...
44 like, kbps, isn't it?
Well, I thought they were, like, 56, because that's what a, you know, like, a modem is, or, like, telephone line is, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure the usual, like, most recording programs, when you go to record, they compare... It's usually 44, I think some say 64 kbps, but I want to say 44. Let's see.
Well, I know that with the sample rate, it's usually 44,000, and then you have they have the other preset of like 48,000 or something.
I mean, I just know that call, like phone quality, if you ever listen to a show that has a call-in, you know, segment, you can really tell the difference between the two qualities. You know, phone call.
Okay, so I'll do this thing.
You don't say. Well, why don't you tell us a detailed description of...
Okay, so I'll do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you mix that in with a Bluetooth headset.
Oh, yeah, that's... Well, I don't know. It depends. Like, you know, if the Bluetooth is coming in at a decent bit rate...
Yeah.
Versus a call.
Right. And then usually when I do like streams of like radio stations, usually I see like 32, 64, and like 96 for the bit rate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's usually the standard is like 128. I know that's not CD quality, but I see like a lot of MP3s.
It's not CD quality, but it's what most music sites use because it's a faster download time. I mean, when you buy an album, you usually get the option to bring it in at like the high quality, but most people, you know, it's like getting HD versus SD for people that don't notice the difference, because there are some people that still don't understand the difference between HD and SD. They're like, I don't see it. I don't care. Yeah, I mean, especially it depends on what you're playing it back on, because if you're playing it on some crappy speakers or a computer that, you know, if your computer doesn't have the processing power to download your entire library in the highest quality format or to play it back properly, you're not going to notice it.
Yeah, but so like CD quality is not 192.
Mm-hmm.
And usually like you see like what you said, AUG files or like FLAC files or like 320, I believe, right?
Yeah, the Linux people really like Aug and FLAC.
Yeah.
FLAC is a weird, weird format, man. It's big files, and I'm just like, you know, I have VLC Media Player will handle these, and I can switch them with some converters, but, man, I don't know.
Have you ever bought any, like, additional sound cards? Because I know me right now, I just use, like, a built-in sound card because those have gotten pretty decent. They were able to integrate those. But I know back in the day, I used to buy a couple, like, cheap, like, Sound Blaster cards and stuff, you know?
I might have back in the day. It's like, now I've got, you know, I've got, I mean, I've changed the video card out, but the sound card on this machine is actually pretty decent. It's my speaker isn't. That's why I bought speakers, because they were, I don't know. Speakers kind of come and go. A lot of devices that actually play the sound. Sometimes it's like, oh, this is the perfect sound. And then, oh, hey, it got fried one day. It doesn't sound right anymore. Headphones are the same way, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I myself don't have surround sound, but I'd like to get some kind of speakers that have some kind of like subwoofer or something. Those are pretty decent, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a lot of sound, it all, just like with a car, it all depends on who's doing the tuning, because you get that one guy who just turns the bass way up and he thinks that makes a good song. And it's like, I understand that if it's too loud, you're too old argument, because I'm a kid, I'm still 30. I've mentioned this how many episodes now, but it's like, you know, sound, you can distort it and play it crappy, and it's like, not all sounds need to be loud. If a sound is played so loud that it's horrible, like, I've seen acoustic bands that had their stuff way too loud, and I'm just like, what are you doing? This is ruining the sound of your instruments. It's like, yeah. You guys are like a light acoustic band, and you've got this stuff that hurts my ears. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I guess we could sort of get into, you know, like the different connector types. We just briefly talked about the, what are those called, the SLRs or whatever?
XLR. That's for connecting a microphone to a mixer, to a preamp, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I know there's the kinds that are like the 2.5 millimeters. Those are like the really small ones for like the older iPhones, jacks. I think. Yeah. Then there's the standard headphone jack, I think, is like the 3.5 millimeter. And then they even have like a...
And then there's the bigger one. Inch. Well, there's like the guitar cable, you know, and usual, the microphones that don't have XLR, you know, that are just like a straight jack into an amp, you know, that's the larger kind. And then, of course, you get the converters that convert them down one way and up the other. And, you know, my advice is just get the correct cable, and when you can, get a thing that connects one end to the other. Don't try and daisy chain. Like, you know, 15 different connectors. Like, okay, this usually plugs into a little headphone jack, and then I got a thing that plugs it into a bigger one, and then I got one that plugs it into an amp, and then I got a long cable.
Yeah, I mean, I know there are, like, different connectors where you can plug in XLR into, like, the standard 3.5 millimeter jack, but then that's a little bit redundant, I guess, you know?
Well, I mean, there are things to, you can plug your guitar directly into, well, not directly, but through an adapter into your iPhone and use that as an amp and use it as a recording device too. I mean, when I got my my Spider amp back in like, back before I started going to AIP, I was in high school at the time, so I was 17. Back in the day, it was a digital amp, and there weren't a lot of digital amps at the time, but it had the pre-programmed kinds of amps, so it had like, you know, sound like an old Marshall Stag, and then there's one that just was insane, and then there's acoustic stuff, and you can swap between them, and then you could plug it directly into the thing to record from, so like you wouldn't need to actually have the mic up to the speaker. And this was a new thing at the time. Or at least, you know, it was a new, more affordable thing for the common man. So
yeah, I'll bet you probably have a box of just like different kind of connectors where you can like split the left and right channels and then merge them, and then maybe like have clone channels, so like clone mono channels, so it goes so you don't have to put it and do it in post, you know.
The fun of stereo to two different mono connectors, you know. I mean, shoot, if you wanted to share headphones with somebody, you'd have to be sure, okay, you want to get the two stereo to two stereo splitter, not the one that splits it to a mono, because then one guy's just going to have the left ear and one guy's going to have the right, and that's going to be a bumpy ride, okay? So, but yeah, audio adapters are fun, but I mean, they're simple to use until the day you're plugging stuff in and you go, this is a male or a female cable, and I've got to plug it into the exact other same thing. There's not one, like, these two ends do not connect. You know, I've had that fun too. But yeah, audio cable connectors, the main problem with them is that the more you add to your device, there's more links in the chain that will potentially break on you or cause a failure or feedback of some kind. Like, yeah. Oh hey, this one adapter, for some reason, it doesn't go all the way into the other adapter, so it has this wiggle room, so you gotta make sure it's lined up and not touch it, because then it'll drop the connection. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I've had that a lot.
Yeah. And I'm sure you probably even have to have special equipment just for even, like, a single cable, but it's, like, really long where you're trying to pipe it into another building, you know?
Well, I mean, that you just have to, you know, you get the little tube adapter and you plug one cable into the one end and one into the other and keep on trucking. I mean, my problem with big cables like that is how, over time, they like to just rat up on each other like Christmas light wires.
Yeah.
And you know, my mom, when I went to buy a guitar cable recently, she was like, oh, I told him he should get a shorter one so he doesn't, you know, and I was like, no, I need a longer one because the one I've got is tangled and I really should have a longer straight one rather than a smaller tangled mess where I can't get from my guitar to anything else. I'm going to trip it and cause more problems. And the guy at the counter was like, yeah, he's right. You want longer is usually better because then you get more to work with, because nothing sucks more than having to record something or do something across the room and you've only got enough cable to get halfway there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, what are your whole thoughts on people that are just, like, totally, like, audiophiles with their cables and stuff, where, like you said, like, the $500 monster cables where they have to have everything gold-plated and they're like Goldfinger, man.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to spend $500 on a cable, you're more than welcome to, but you will not be spending $500 of my money on that. Because cables, I read a Guitar World magazine interview, I think it was with Dimebag Darrell of a Pantera, and they were talking about, you know, you could have this big expensive rig, and then you have these crappy cables that came with it, you know? And it's like, you know, you're wondering why you're getting feedback or why the, you know, stuff's dropping, and it's like because you didn't get good cables. It's like you've got, you know, if you're going to spend thousands of dollars on stuff and, you know, or if you have cables that are, you know, the one pickup is kind of bad on this one, it's like, they're like, what, 10, 20 bucks? It's
yeah.
Like, and it's, and, you know, it's an important thing to have. And, you know, but on by that same token, it's like, they're a thing. They're not going to make it for the fire of the gods is now in this audio recording. It's like, they carry the signal. And, you know, as long as you're not, you know, as long as it's not like back in the day when you'd have the stereo and then you'd have, you know, you'd have the tape deck trying to record from the stereo, but it wasn't, you know, you'd have to hold them up to each other like they're making out, you know. I mean, granted, that can be a desired thing. Some people like, you know, distortion and digital loss. The Beatles, I think we talked about this before, they liked recording on like a four-track mixer where you mix three tracks, then you bump those down to one track, and now you've got three tracks you can, you know, record on. They like that sheen, that, because it's like, you know, shrinking a drawing in Photoshop. It makes everything that sounded crappy, hey, it's cleaned up now. It makes everything shoom down and look compressed. Like, I've got cassette tape of the Ramones' Adios Amigos and, you know, other albums at the time. And it's like, I didn't want to buy the CDs of them, so I just tried to convert the file, you know, record them, and then split those into tracks. And something was up with my cable at the time, and it gave it an extra bit of distortion, and I kind of liked the sound of that better than hearing it digitally, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like, that's a nice amount of distortion, because, I mean, the whole idea of, you know, guitar distortion and, like, delay and all the different effects you can add to just, like, an acoustic guitar, and then you crank up filters and all kinds of hum, and suddenly it just sounds better. The distortion is the instrument. I'm turning into Beavis as I'm saying this, so.
Well, that's just a creative decision, then. I mean, if you want it that way, then I guess that's fine.
Yeah, I have the same problem with my mom. Whenever she hears me playing guitar, I go, hey, did you like what I was playing? It didn't sound like a guitar. It sounds like a guitar. It's just distorted. because I'm not doing flamenco acoustic, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, even, like, in broadcasting and, like, video, too, people use gold plating. It's just, you know, it's more conductive with the electricity, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I mean, everything has its limits. I mean, there are people that, you know, it's like, oh, we have to have everything, like, the red cameras, and we always have to have all these big expensive things, and it's like, if you have the you know, the budget to do these things, great. You know, I mean, Robert Rodriguez did, you know, his first movie, all the audio for it, they dubbed over on, like, a cassette tape from a keyboard and stuff. Like, you know, you hear that, that's like, that sounds so low fidelity, but it works for the film. So.
Yeah. Me, personally, I'd rather, I guess it depends on, like, the cable, I guess. I would rather pay more money for, like, a gold-plated HDMI cable than just, like, a stereo right and left, you know?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, some people are, like, I mean, if you want to get into the whole vinyl conversation and people that are very elitist about, oh, it has to be this particular way, or, you know, it's like, whatever. Audio, if people like audio, people trade bootlegs of stuff they recorded at shows, and, you know, and I'm sure those have varying different qualities and whatnot. It's all right. matter of what the person listening to it wants to hear, so.
Yeah. I know you don't care about it too much, but I am into some of the paranormal shows and some of the radio shows, and I know a lot of them, they swear by analog when they try to, like, record, like, voices from beyond, you know.
Yeah, and of course they have to have the lights out, and they have to have some jack-o'-lanterns burning, and
yeah, I know.
Eh, it's okay.
But what kind of techniques do you know of that you can remove, like, unwanted things like hiss and stuff and hums? I was watching a YouTube video and I saw this guy, he was used like a portable mic with headphones, and he put it on like eye gain, and he was able to wave it over like some cables or whatever, and he was able to narrow what the problem was when he had like some large hum in his audio recordings, I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, my first bit of advice is get it right the first time. It, you know, find what settings, you know, you gotta find, you know, using audio recording equipment, you have to fine-tune and find what works, because you don't want to just buy something and just assume, you know, you always want to test the mic out, test the stuff out, but you always want to get stuff figured out beforehand, and then you want to always, you know, talk clearly into the microphone when you can. If you're recording some live event, you want to have the best mic you can, but yeah, my advice, you know, when you want to get rid of things, you know, it's you want to try and get a sample of, like, you know, just record the mic being, you know, nothing going, so you can catch whatever hum is there. And then filters, I ran Audacity to get rid of a hum that we had for a while on the first episode we recorded together. I don't know. I mean, it really comes down, in my opinion, it comes down to use your equipment best, and that way you won't have hum to get rid of, because you can run filters and different passes and stuff to correct stuff. But you always run the risk of clipping something out, or, like, you know, some weird thing happening that you just don't understand why. So.
Right. But, I mean, even just going back to the being an audiophile, from what I heard, some people actually buy, like, some equipment that they actually, you would plug in, that goes between, like, your outlet and whatever equipment you're plugging in. Because I know sometimes I used to, like, I had, like, certain speakers or whatever where you'd hear, like, a noticeable hum, like, with the different outlets. It's crazy. So I guess you want to make sure everything's, like, grounded or whatever. I'm not an electrician, so I don't know, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why a lot of people, you know, like, podcasters like USB mics, because if you just plug into the mic in jack on most computers, there's always the chance you're going to get the electrical distortion, versus, you know, a USB jack is usually cleaner. And then also, you know, which USB port you're using. If it's already powered, it might create a whine. It might, you know, or it might not have the power to handle the microphone. Or sometimes it's like, I don't know why every port doesn't work but this one, you know. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's stuff like that. But again, it comes down to using the equipment, because sometimes, like, you get that new mic and you're like, okay, I'm going to record this whole episode. And it's like, oh, I sound great, but the guy in the other channel, he sounds like he's in the next room.
Yeah.
I mean, I listened to a podcast not too long ago where it's like, I usually listen to every episode they put out, And for some reason, the one host who was sitting next to the guy, he sounded okay. The other guy sounded like the echo track of an album. He was like on an amphitheater. I'm like,
Yeah.
They're in the same room. What's going on? It's all microphone set up, man. So, turns you into the great and powerful Oz.
Yep. But, or you could say, yeah, I've narrowed down the problem. It's that I'm using 100-year-old electricity.
Mm. Well, I mean, what's that saying? Problem exists between computer and user. Or, you know, it's the user who doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's often, like, especially, like, you want to give yourself some room between using things because, again, stuff can interfere with each other, too. And especially if you're recording a podcast, you usually, not only do you want to leave your phone off so it doesn't ring during the middle of a show, but you don't want it near it because it'll pick up the cell phone looking for a signal, looking for a tower. And it's annoying. And you go, what is that? What's that digital dee-dee-dee-dee noise?
Yeah. And I've heard of even people that having, like, a difference in, like, the way that their cables are arranged. I have, like, crappy cable management, so... Well, I could probably be creating some kind of feedbacks and stuff. Who knows?
I don't know, man. It's like when you work with some stuff, you get really superstitious. It's like, okay, this podcast is going to go great because I'm wearing my special underwear today that just happens to record well. And it's like you get all kinds of weird little rituals and superstitions. And, you know, I'm sure some of it is based on stuff that actually works. And then some of it is just based on it makes you feel better. And then you're willing to let a bad show slide because, oh, it's fine, it's fine.
Now, have you heard of anybody using, like, tin foil and wrapping that around cables to help shield things?
For shielding, yeah. Actually, when I was looking into building your own Cintiq, you know, tablet kind of device, like, there was a problem with the battery and, like, the battery unit wasn't shielded properly. Or, like, you have to have it outside of the case or it interferes with the signal and you get a jittery line. And then, you know, I was watching an Angry Video Game Nerd episode, and he was talking about the Vectrex and how, like, there's a lack of insulation between the speaker and a wire, and so you just hear this, as it gets, as certain ships come out. It's, you know, tin foil, I don't know, man. I mean, I remember we all had, like, the antennas as a kid, and you'd start putting tin foil on, like, I gotta get this tuned in well.
Yeah, it's like Married with Children, assume Fox viewing positions.
Everybody just hang your hands up here and get it to work. Okay.
Yeah.
You hold this antenna. Now don't move for the entirety of the show. People in the digital age, kids don't even know what we're talking about. Over-air TV. Rabbit ears? What's that? What's a rabbit got to do with watching TV?
Actually, I've seen some reviews of the newer type antennas. People get, like, they're like flat plates, and you get, like, HD on them and stuff too.
HD. Oh, you know what's funny nowadays is you see those ads for that they try and swindle somebody into getting the over air antenna. They're like, oh, this is a new invention that gives you all these channels for free, and it's like, no, it's not. It's an over air antenna that happens to support, you know, digital conversion. That's it. It's like these things existed for a long time before. It's not some miracle device that gives you free cable channels or anything. This is the over-air local news, weather, and a couple other channels.
Right.
Oh, man.
Well, I know some buildings only have, like, dedicated antenna lines where you just plug in, like, your cable line. And there's like, a jack for the antenna and then, like, a jack for just, like, your regular cable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I remember one time I had to use, like, my antenna line because I'm in an apartment, so I was able to use the antenna line outlet or whatever because I was waiting to get, like, a new service or whatever from them, but they said just try to use an antenna for now. And it was weird when I had my TV actually auto-program. I'm sure nobody even knows what that means anymore, auto-programming your TV to try to pick up channels.
Oh, but, we did that when we got rid of the cable upstairs. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's weird. It picked up HD channels, too, but they were, like, for, like, Fox or whatever, it was, like, the HD channel was, like, 8.1 or like 8.2 or something.
Yeah, we get that. We get that with like channels, you know, 23, then 23-1, and you know, 3-4, and it's like, and then a lot of those channels are just blank because there's some sort of signal coming in, but it's not a video signal. So,
it's crazy. It's like a radio, man.
Man.
0.1.
Man, it's like, how do I enter this with my remote control? I can't. I have to go to the previous channel and go back one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, but it still beats paying for a box, so.
Yeah, I guess so. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that, to the whole world of audio? I mean, I'm sure everybody will be listening to this in 1 kilobit.
They'll all be listening to it over a phone. Over some a telegraph. That's what it is. Do 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 do. I don't know. I think it's interesting. Quality of audio and the different conversion stuff, and just, you know, this episode could all just be about the magic of stuff that goes on with audio that sometimes you just don't understand. You know, interruptions with frequencies and like interference and, you know, a lot of stuff is just a lot of get the cables stretched out, get things away from each other, get things, you know, and a lot of it's, you know, set something on something sturdy because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have cat interruptions too.
Yeah, I'm hopefully going to get all those edited out, but I'll leave this in that I have a cat that wanted my attention to really point out how awesome the corner in my studio was. And. I don't know why she thought that corner was so great. It's been there as long as this house has been here. But right at this moment, it's like, hey, have you seen this corner?
This is an awesome corner.
Oh, dude, this corner is the best. Way better than those other three. Look at this. Look at this.
So, and then she goes and craps in it.
No, well, it was the ceiling corner. I'm like, what are you looking at? You can't. There's nothing there. There's no shelf or anything for you to climb on because I took everything down, so you wouldn't climb on it. It's like, I want to grow wings and fly over here. So,
do you have some kind of a castle for her or something next to your desk there so she could sit next to you and you just like pet her occasionally or something?
She likes to walk into my studio and look at me and then meow like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, what do you want? Come on, follow me. All right, I walk in, and then she walks into the other room and then hides under a chair, and I go down there to see what she wants, and she starts swiping at me, or she runs under another desk. It's like, I get that you want to be, you know, chased. Cats like to be chased, and they like heights and all this stuff, but it's like, this is a tiny house, and I can't be bending down all the time. Maybe if I was a kid again, but, eh. But anyway, we're getting way off topic today.
Yeah.
So, was there anything you wanted to add to the conversation, Ian?
Nothing really. I agree that I think this episode has been pretty interesting as far as just trying to figure out problems with audio and different types of connections. And
this is the Ghost Hunters episode of audio, isn't it? This episode where we're just trying to find random stuff floating in, and it's like, what caused this interruption? Oh, it's the ghost of my dead Uncle Phil. What are you doing, Phil? I'm stuck in this microphone adapter. Help. Yeah, that is a horrible afterlife, Phil. Well, gotta put you away till next week.
Yeah. But generally, I'm sure you've probably found it interesting, too, because I had totally forgotten a while ago that you actually play music and stuff, you know?
Yeah, some stuff. I don't know, man. Some audio and music and stuff, it's like, sometimes, you know, sometimes you just it just gels and stuff works, and it's like, I got a feeling like today I just felt like playing some guitar. It's been a while. I go play it, and it's like, yeah, this is what, you know, like, I love, you know, a backing rhythm guitar. It's like, you know, it's like, everyone wants to be the solo guy and all this stuff, but like, if you're playing an aggressive rhythm track and it's like, yeah, feel this groove, man. You know, it's just something about that to me has always been appealing, you know, and it's the same way with, like, you know, when I was in band in college and high school, I would play, you know, I was a trombone player, which is, you know, usually relegated to the rhythm section. They don't really give too many melodies because you got trumpets. Everyone loves the freaking trumpets. And I always like playing the second trombone bar, not like the lead part that would have all the high stuff. I like having the stuff that just chugs along, you know. you know, especially like marching band music. Like whenever I hear marching band music, for like a second, my brain switches into oh man, I'm back on the field. You know, it's like if I hear a drum cadence, I might for a second just start marching. Like nope. It's one of those things that gets ingrained in you. You know.
Yep.
I was listening to a soundtrack to Rayman Legends recently, and there's a song in there that they have like a band, like a marching band, instrumentation, and it sounds like they're in a really echoey hall, and it reminds me of when we would do the end of the year concert, and I'm like, that sound. It's like, you hear like trumpets and the trombones echoing off of the wall, I'm like, I'm back in that place. It's weird. Stuff just locks into your mind and your memories. You know?
Yeah. And when you're recording stuff, you end up, it ends up being recorded with everything going wrong, and you record it total lossy, you know? And it just sounds like crap, and it was an epic. You'll never be able to play that again.
Oh, well, I mean, we've learned that when you go to record a podcast, that's when the rest of the world decides to get loud, and that's when your neighbor decides to mow his lawn, and...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I'll you'll be playing a song, like I like to play guitar, and I'll come out with this nice riff, and I'm like, yeah, man, this is great. I wish I could record it. And I'm sure if I did record it and play it back the next day, I'd be like, what? Huh? What? What was so great about this? And I turn into like Tenacious D. This isn't the greatest song in the world. It's just a tribute to it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I, like you said, you're... phone goes off, and then you get, when you're trying to record a podcast, you hear that, it sounds like a Morse code, boop, 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 boop.
Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, 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 boop. Anyway, but yeah, I believe, unless you had any interesting stories, because I all of a sudden got excited about music, because you mentioned I play instruments, it's like, oh yeah, I do! I forgot!
Yeah, you do. You actually have a talent in that, too.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a talent. I like to bang on things. Whether or not I'm any good at it, it's just like singing and whatnot. It's like, well, I don't know if my voice is any good, but I like to yell it.
Well, you told me I didn't even know you did the intro for this podcast. So, I like it. It's pretty good. But I have nothing else to add to that other than that. I mean... hopefully you're listening to this podcast on a decent sound card and decent speakers, and if it doesn't sound good, maybe you want to check your cable.
Yeah, or maybe it's because the hosts are horrible people. I know I am. So anyway, I'm kidding. So anyway, folks, it's thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all on the other side.
Peace.
More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.